Hello, hello. Great. Hello, hello, and welcome to episode 42 of Let's Riot. We are talking to the dreamers today, or maybe those of us who want to be dreamers, or maybe the ex-dreamers, wherever you are on the spectrum. Today's episode is for you. Let's Riot is a podcast where we create space to ask hard questions of God and expect answers. We kick out Sunday school answers here and want to hear from the Holy Spirit himself. We are learning the unforced rhythms of grace together, and it is good and hard and messy. Today, honestly, we're talking about a topic that's still a little raw on my heart. If you follow us on Instagram, you must have... If you follow me on Instagram, you know that I have recently laid down a dream that has laid heavy on my heart for the last year. We're talking about dreaming with God, because I am learning the hard parts of it. But before we get any further, let's talk about how... Let's talk about God's heart for dreams and his dreamers. Because after all, God is... God is a dreamer himself and the giver of dreams. I think often we boil down dreaming with God to, oh, I must want to go on a mission trip, or I must want to move overseas to be an evangelist, or I want to plant a church. And while all of those are God-given dreams, they are not the only dreams that come from God. Just look at the Bible. Joseph was given a dream of an efficient food system in Egypt. Sarah and Abraham were given the dream of a family. Moses, he was given a dream of a rescue mission to bring his people out of captivity. And then our boy Peter, well, he was given a dream of liberation from religion when he saw the sheet of animals fall down on the roof of that house. There are all sorts of dreams that come from God. And if I may, I'm going to tell you a story of my dream that came from God. You see, it was a dream of a coffee shop here in Salt Lake City. If you're not familiar with Salt Lake, we only have about 2% of the population that are God-fearing, Jesus-believing Christians. The predominant religion here is the LDS Church, the Mormon Church, and it is a very dark place. So living here feels a little bit like living in a foreign country, to be honest. But I love it. And to be honest, opening a coffee shop was never on my radar. It was never a dream of mine until last spring when a friend approached me and said, "Hey, so you're running this thing called the Budco. And don't you want that to be your full-time job?" And I was like, yeah, that would be awesome. But, you know, paying myself is a little bit hard. And my friend, his name is Brent, said, "Well, I have this idea. What if we open a coffee shop that would support ministries like yours and help pay your salary?" My first reaction, that's a nice thought, but I don't really want to own my own coffee shop. And we were going back and forth about the pros and cons. And then at that moment, somebody ran over to me and said, "Hey, I think your husband just broke his ankle." And he did. Sis, make note that playing kickball and trying to slide in cleats is not a good idea. So that was the end of that conversation. But as I was sitting in the hospital waiting room, waiting for my husband to get out of surgery, I felt like God reminded me of that conversation and said, that's not done yet. You still need to pray to me and talk to me about this idea. And I kind of brushed it off and was like, okay, God, but like, this isn't actually happening. And God had other plans. You see, that night and the following two nights, I had these vivid dreams. Almost apocalyptic dreams of the Salt Lake Valley. There were dreams of tornadoes ripping through the valley and of believers running up on the mountain, which also, that's not how you deal with tornadoes. Don't go to higher ground. But we were running up on the mountainside, gathering people together and praying. And there was a dream of almost a malicious takeover of the Salt Lake Valley, of these armies coming in and tanks coming in and planes flying through. And again, the body of believers was being gathered together and we were going in to do doing rescue missions and pulling people out of this this military takeover into safety. And again, there was another dream of standing at the LDS Conference Center, which is downtown, if you're familiar with it, and having people coming in the doors, and we were standing there and telling them of who Jesus really was and pulling people out of almost this brainwashing state. And I was like, God, that's weird. I've never had dreams like this. And so I went to a mentor of mine and kind of asked, what do I do with this? Because to be honest, I feel like God's speaking to me through dreams. And I've never really thought much of that before. Or how do you even deal with that? She said, you deal with it by praying about it. By bringing people into it and asking them to pray too. And so we prayed about it and I felt like God was breaking my heart for this city. For the darkness and the brokenness of the Salt Lake City Valley. I felt like he spoke, I'm not only moving through families and churches here, but I'm moving through the business sector, and I need you to be a part of it. Because Salt Lake will be a city on a mountain one day where people look to it and see moves of God, moves of my spirit coming in, through, and out of it. I'm not finished with Salt Lake yet. And of course, I was like, okay, God, I'm in. What does this look like? And so I called up my friend, Brent, and we sat down and we started dreaming about this coffee shop. And things just started to click for me of, wow, this could be a ministry outpost for the gospel. People are going to be introduced to Jesus over cups of coffee. And we started dreaming and planning, and, you know, 8 months into it, we were looking at buildings to lease out, and we were applying for SBA loans, and to be honest, we were really far into the process. We were getting to the point where we were just waiting for signatures on lines to open our doors, and then COVID hit. And we kind of sat there and we're like, okay, well, this is going to pass. This is just temporary. We're, you know, just going to press pause and thank you, Jesus, that we weren't already open and having to deal with COVID in the midst of trying to start this new business, you know, we could recognize that mercy. But as the weeks drew on and things became more clear of this is not just going to go away, we kind of had to sit and say, okay, well, God, we really feel like this is a dream from you. And so, you know, you're going to have to make a way. And honestly, we had said that throughout this entire process. Again and again, we would hit roadblocks or feel like this is insurmountable. How are we ever going to get past this? And God would open a door. And so again and again, we would say, okay, God, like, if this is from you, you have to open a door. You have to move things out of our way. And so we sat there again and we did the same thing and felt like God gave us an option of, you know, you could do a food truck. You could do a mobile coffee experience. And so we started dreaming for that and felt like, yeah, this feels peaceful. Let's pursue this. Let's start, you know, making plans for this. Let's continue to invite God into this. And while all of that was happening in my time with God, something was unsettled in my spirit. Something felt off. And I felt like it was an attack from the enemy, right? Like, this is from God. So if I'm feeling uncertain about it, surely it's not from God. It has to be from the enemy. And so I kind of brushed it off. And honestly, you know, I was a couple weeks into that and still felt this like heaviness on my spirit that something's not right here. And so I kind of took a step of faith and was like, okay, God, like, if this is you speaking, I need some discernment of what this means. And I kind of settled for, okay, like, I am an achiever by nature. I have a history of taking on too much. Like, this unsettledness is really just you saying I need to have better boundaries with this dream and with work and with this partnership and all of that. I was like, okay, I'm going to have a conversation with Brent. It's going to be good. We're going to move forward. It, you know, my position might look a little bit different, but it's okay. Well, that was until about maybe a month ago. And that unsettledness was just heavy on my heart one Saturday, to the point where I like escaped to my bedroom and I just sat with the Holy Spirit and was like, I don't understand what you're trying to tell me. Well, in hindsight, it's probably more like, I didn't want to recognize what you were telling me. Why can't you just leave me alone? But I sat with God and I just felt like he was saying, you are being deliberately disobedient if you continue with this coffee shop. Because I've been telling you for weeks that it's time to step away. That it's time to pass the torch and trust that your friend is going to carry this the rest of the way. But I have other things for you. To be honest, I wanted to believe it was the enemy again, right? Because God wouldn't give me this dream and then take it away. That's God teasing me. That's what my flesh wanted to say. That's not how God operates. He doesn't pull me out in the last quarter. And I wrestled with all of those ideas. And I finally like sat down with my husband, Jackson, and told him, hey, I feel like this is what God's saying. And I feel like not only does this not make sense to me of why God would give me this dream and then take it away, but isn't this going to blow up my friendship? Sorry, Lou is barking, so I'm going to wait a second. And Jackson looked at me and said, you know, to be honest, this feels like it's in line with a lot of what we've been processing, what we've been hearing from God. And I don't know what this is going to do to Brent, but if God is telling you this, that is your priority, not people pleasing. So, okay. So continue to pray about it for the next couple days and felt like, you know, this is what God is saying. This is peaceful, even though it's hard. And it doesn't really make sense in this moment, but if this is what God is calling me to, I want to be obedient. And yeah, he had been telling me this for the last probably 2 months, but I finally was listening and I wasn't going to be deliberately disobedient again. And so I asked Brent to sit down with me so I could share about my process. And in those few days between finally making the decision to lay it down and tell Brent, kind of feels miraculous at this point, but my church who I'd been volunteering with reached out to me and said, hey, we have this creative director position and we're wanting to know if you want to take it. I'm like, wow, God, like that's been in the works. You know, like it was the dream job, but I didn't even have a capacity to have it on my radar because it seemed so far out of reach. I was like, okay, God, like this is starting to make sense. But even so, like, I thought this season was going to look so different. And yes, you're handing me my dream job, but I've been birthing this dream of a coffee shop for a year, really more than a year. And you're just asking me to hand this baby over to someone else. And so I had the conversation with my friend Brent, and praise God, our friendship is still intact. And he was supportive. And honestly, I can only credit the Holy Spirit that he was in that room and he was choosing our words of how we were going to process this together. But I think that too often we want to say, oh, well, God made you lay down that dream, but he gave you this other thing. We're quick to want to find the silver lining. But to be honest, God would still have been good if he didn't give me that position. If I was left to figure out what life looked like now without the idea of owning a coffee shop, it would have still been the right move to be obedient, but it would still, both scenarios, sorry, I'm going to re-say that, Jack. But in both scenarios, both in the sense that he had already provided before I needed it, or if I was left to process with God, God still would have made room and honored the mourning process, the frustration, the confusion. Because God doesn't just give us dreams that he wants us to just not care about, right? He gives us dreams and says, hey, invest here. Dream with me. Be hopeful, anticipate, breathe my life into these things. He doesn't just do that and expect us to be able to walk away without any emotion. God doesn't expect us to be robots about these sort of things. Right? And I even think about God breathed life into Jesus. and to literally himself in the Trinity, right? Like, he sent his son. He breathed life into the dream of his son and walked with him for 30 years. If we don't think God grieved having to surrender his son, having to put him on a cross for another dream almost, right? This dream of being able to be with us in heaven. That God mourned that. God grieved that. You know, in a sense, I feel like he must have been frustrated that it had to come to that, that he had to do that. But yet he could see past the cross to joy. And we do the same with these dreams, whether we want to be a dreamer, whether we are a dreamer, whether we are an ex-dreamer because of hurt in the past. We invest. We anticipate, we are expectant, and when God calls us to lay them down, we mourn it. We grieve it. We are honest with God in our emotions. Because he does create space for that. Sorry, Jack, I'm going to pause really quick because I got to get my Bible. You know, I think about 1 Peter 1:6. It says, "In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials." God has a purpose not only in the trial, but in the grief. We don't have to be unfeeling robots. That's not the life God calls us to. That's not who our Father is. God is inviting us to dream with him, whether that's in a practical sense or for our family or for the church or for a city or simply bringing him glory through our passions and our talents. And dreaming with God is messy. Let's stop trying to make it neat and tidy and trying to remove emotions that were given to us by God from them. He is inviting us into a mess with dreaming, and it is a holy mess. Because as we receive dreams from God, we enter into a birthing process with God. And as we hand over dreams to God, we are declaring God greater and that we are believing him when he says he only has the best for his children and that he brings us glory to glory. And I don't know if you're in the place that I was, that I kind of still am in, of laying that dream on the altar again. But I want to tell you that if you are, we have a good Father who already knows what glory to glory looks like for you, and he is taking care of you. And he is leading you to the best of the best. It is a mercy. But that doesn't mean it's hard, not hard. So I want to leave you with that. Embrace the mess. We have to stop trying to tidy up God and living with God. That's not who our God is. He's not afraid of your emotion, of your honesty, of your confusion, of your frustration, of your anger, of your sadness, of your mourning. It doesn't make you any less of a child of God. In fact, I see him saying, "Well done, my good and faithful servant, that you carried this so near to your heart, that you allowed me to break your heart for what broke mine. Now I want to bring you into your next glory, to glory, to glory with me." So, until next time, keep rioting for the kingdom. Keep dreaming with God.